Hershey's Milk Chocolate with Whole Almonds makes for a wholly amazing, wholly delicious experience that's, well, wholly Hershey's. Everyone to get to experience the satisfying surprise of a whole almond tucked inside creamy Hershey's chocolate. So don't wait your whole life to try Hershey's Milk Chocolate with Whole Almonds. And if you've already had it, then chances are you're already a lifelong fan of this confectionery delight. Find Hershey's Milk Chocolate with Whole Almonds wherever candy is sold.
Angel Reese y McDonald's tienen la clave para un post-game meal de campeones. Una QPC con salsa barbecue y tocino, papitas y un refresco. Los pros le llaman el Angel Reese Special. Llévate el Angel Reese Special solo en McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
En McDonald's participantes por tiempo limitado.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We talked earlier in the show about surrogacy. Sarah Madden, our own reporter, was kind of looking into the issue of how the kind of increase in popularity in surrogacy has maybe impacted on adoption rates in this country. But kind of following on from that, we want to have a discussion and debate about where we're going in terms of the legislation and the regularisation and the regulation of this industry, if we call it that, in this country. Some might reject the description, and whether we're going down the right road at all. Annette Hickey is with me. Annette is a solicitor specialising in surrogacy, and Sandra Adams as well is here. She's an advocate for women's sex-based rights and recently ran in the Shannon elections as well. You're both very, very welcome. Annette, people will remember the bill, the human reproductive...
I suppose to bring everybody up to date with where we are regarding the legislation. That bill started in 2017. It made its way during the 5 years to the point that last summer, on the 2nd of July, the President enacted it. Now, that means that it has been signed into law, but none of the bill has been commenced. We now have a new government. We now have a new Minister for Health. And I suppose the advocacy groups and all of us who work and are supporting surrogacy journeys, both domestically here in Ireland and for intended parents who have completed their journeys and people who are on their journeys at the moment, look forward, I suppose, to further engagement from the Minister for Health and the government about when it's expected to commence this legislation. Past surrogacy provisions, which will provide a route to parenthood for the children who have been born through surrogacy at this moment in time. And also the regulatory authority. I mean, we are the one of the first countries in Europe that are bringing forward a preconception approval type process. So anybody who has any queries, concerns, or any anxieties regarding the ethics of surrogacy, I would say to them, look at the legislation, see what's in the provisions regarding the regulatory authority, and our government, and again, all the parties of the government, the opposition and the government, to support the introduction of this legislation, support the regulatory authority, and I think it's something to be welcomed.
And if Jennifer Carroll McNeill, as Minister for Health, commences all aspects of this bill, we will establish that regulatory authority,
The regulatory authority will be established. The legislation as it's drafted, there's certain sections in it when it comes to the regulatory authority that talks about the Minister for Health having certain, prescribing true regulation, the finer detail in it. But in essence, what we're looking at with regards to domestic and international surrogacy is before an embryo transfer takes place, an application will be brought to the regulatory authority for preconception approval. The difference with international surrogacy is that as the legislation stands at the moment, the jurisdiction in question must be an approved surrogacy jurisdiction. And the regulatory authority will rely upon the information from the Department of Foreign Affairs, our embassies, our overseas honorary consuls, in order to decide which jurisdictions will meet with the criteria. And what they'll be looking at is, number one, is there legislation in that country? Number two, is commercial surrogacy provided for in that country? Number three, how can our regulatory authority ensure that there's compliance with the legislative provisions in our legislation? Medical, assisted human reproduction, fertility clinics, agencies, intermediaries in those countries, is there a regulatory authority? What kind of oversight? The protection to pregnant women in those countries, whether they be surrogates or not, the protection and the law in those countries regarding the care of children born through assisted human reproduction. So I think it's a very comprehensive, detailed criteria, and it shows the thought and the effort and that has been gone into trying to ensure that we will have the most robust ethical surrogacy legal framework, and one to be very, 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 very proud of.
Sandra Adams, do you think it is a framework to be proud of were it to be enacted?
No, because I think surrogacy is a new frontier in the exploitation of women. The IHREC, the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, issued a report when this legislation was being discussed. And it made it very clear Ireland is the first country in Europe to legalise commercial surrogacy. Now, that's the IHREC saying that. And they said it is a fiction, their word, to think that women would undertake a pregnancy for someone else for reasonable expenses, that there will be a commercial element. And it's not going to be the well-educated middle-class daughters of you or I that are going to be surrogates. It's going to be women in countries, usually developing countries. They will be poor. They may be exploited. And we already have evidence of that. I think you actually, News Talk had a feature on it last summer. A Greek fertility clinic advertised on the Growing Your Family website was raided. 8 staff were arrested. Women from Albania and Georgia were held there. They were impregnated against their will. They were forced into egg harvesting. This is not uncommon. Last week, we had another story of 3 women from Thailand also held in a clinic in Georgia. So where you have an unharmonized system like surrogacy, you are going to allow criminals to enter it and exploit women.
Is that not what this framework would mitigate against? A robust and ethical framework to mitigate against the type of exploitation you're talking about. I don't think anybody would deny the reality of exploitation.
It absolutely won't, because we won't be on the ground in Georgia or Kenya or Tanzania or wherever these clinics are operating. And I think it is fantasy to think that women will not be exploited. It's no different from the sex trade. Where there's money to be made from women providing this service, they will be exploited. And it's not just the exploitation element of it. There's also the human dignity aspect, that it is, I think, deeply, deeply worrying that our capacity to accept limitations in our lives is being ignored. So not having a family is profoundly upsetting. And I can acknowledge and empathise with the grief that comes with not being able to have children. But there are some limitations in life that cannot be managed and cannot be met by simply paying other people to meet those needs. And this is one of those circumstances.
Annette, how do you mitigate entirely, though, against possible exploitation in other countries?
Firstly, it's incorrect to say that Ireland has introduced legislation that legalises commercial surrogacy. In fact, we haven't. We have said that commercial surrogacy, both domestically and internationally, will not be allowed. That is prohibited in our legislation and is an altruistic surrogacy model. Our legislation, the situation, any question or any example, any woman who is exploited is a one woman too many. Our legislation will provides, and it is very clear, that after the regulatory authority is established, the surrogate must be both habitually and lawfully resident in the surrogacy jurisdiction for at least 2 years. So you're speaking about a situation in Greece where you speak about Albanian surrogates. That will not be tolerated under this legislation. So any issues or any examples there is of what has happened historically or is happening out there, our legislation, our Department of Foreign Affairs, we have the people on the ground. We know what needs to be done. We, the habitual and lawful residents, that is not there just for window dressing. That will ensure that the surrogate is in her home country. Also, the surrogate will have to have counselling. And these are counsellors from the country, from the jurisdiction that our regulatory authority approves, so that we know before preconception approval, the regulatory authority knows that the surrogate, there's a report there to show that the surrogate is fully aware and appreciates the psychological and social implications of whatever being a surrogate. We talk about choice here, and I just think it's really important to make the point that what our legislation is doing is ensuring that the surrogate, that we have counselling, independent legal advice, that there'll be an assisted human reproduction document on the regulatory authority's website in both the in the particular country in English and in the native language, so that we will know, we being the Irish people, that want ethical surrogacy, that the surrogate, that the woman in question, it is her choice. She is making a fully informed, voluntary decision to enter in this, into this arrangement. No Irish couple, no heterosexual couple. This is not a choice. For a same-sex couple, it is their only route to parenthood. So I think our legislation, if you look at the legislation and you read the legislation and you see the provisions that are in the legislation, any examples that are being, you know, and some of the language by people who, you know, that have everybody's entitled to their opinion. But I would caution against using certain language that was used in the report earlier on. I've heard from people since then who are really upset describing their children. The Minister for Children, the Minister for Justice and the Minister for Health were involved in this legislation because we're talking about children here. The parents of children born through surrogacy, you know, would take great umbrage at how, you know, their surrogacy journeys have been described. I do this every day. I work with these people. I also work with surrogates. I think it is wrong to say that all surrogates are there from poor poverty countries. America, USA, Canada, some of the surrogates that we speak
to on a
daily basis.
There's a lot of poverty in those
basis.
Countries though.
Oh yeah, but I mean they've had their counselling, they have their independent legal advice. These ladies know what they're doing, Kieran. It is their choice. And what we've got to make sure, and what our legislation will make sure of, is that all surrogates who engage in a surrogacy journey with any Irish intending parent, it is their fully informed, voluntary choice.
Sandra, when you say kind of we need a capacity to accept our physical limitations, how far do you stretch that logic?
Well, I'm only here to talk about surrogacy. So I think in surrogacy, you know, we do have to accept sometimes that it's not possible to have children. And it's not, in my view, it's not acceptable to ask a woman to carry a baby for you.
Even if she's happy to do it?
I think that the unfortunate situation is that altruistic surrogacy is like a gateway. And once you allow that, you're going to allow commercial surrogacy. It's almost impossible to avoid it. And I think we're seeing here.
Why?
Because it's the example that's used where there shouldn't be an issue, but there often is an issue. And the reasonable expenses becomes something else. I think it's an example of how I think Irish legislators maybe see themselves as being exceptional and that they can solve a problem that no one else has been able to solve. I don't think that our legislation is going to magically get rid of the issues around the exploitation of women. And the exploitation of children. And the European Parliament last year has voted to expand, to evolve a directive around human trafficking to include surrogacy. And I think that's really important that we recognise that Ireland seems to be the outlier here and it's going off on a route that nobody else is following. Everyone else seems to be withdrawing from it. And for whatever reason, we're ploughing straight ahead.
Is that
and
true
not listening.
I absolutely couldn't. I couldn't disagree more. I think that what we're doing here, whatever, like if there is human trafficking, exploitation of women is absolutely unacceptable. And what we are doing here is ensuring that that will not be in the place in Irish surrogacy. The European Parliament, whatever directive or whatever last year, our legislation hasn't commenced. The regulatory authority hasn't been established. I would put it to you that, I mean, we can't kind of look to the future. I could speak about this might happen and that might happen in the future and how something might be the gateway. We're here talking about the facts, about the legislation, about the regulatory authority. And we do need the Minister for Health, the new Minister for Health to engage with the advocacy groups and to give updates with regards to when it's intended to commence the legislation, what stage the regulatory authority is at. Simon Harris in the Fine Gael manifesto said that it was, I think, I don't know what the word was, promised or assured that the legislation would commence within 100 days. I think we're on day 15 today.
Sandra, so, would you be in favour of more robust legislation or just no allowance for surrogacy?
I think no allowance at all. I think surrogacy is profoundly exploitative and there's really no way to legislate for it that won't result in women and children being harmed. And back to that sad but difficult acceptance that sometimes the desire of adults cannot be met and we have to restrict it.
Well, like we heard from somebody earlier who was an altruistic surrogate for a close friend.
Yeah,
you wouldn't allow
her.
It in that situation?
I think that it's a little bit like bad cases or hard cases make bad law. Emotive cases make bad law. And I think there was...
No,
I think there was an extraordinary manipulation of emotion around getting this legislation through. And, you know, the fact that parents who commissioned surrogates understood that the law left them in a legal lacuna, in a kind of legal limbo. And yet they went ahead and put themselves in that position. And I think it's extraordinary that that is then used as emotional leverage to change the law to regularise their position when they knew going into it that they were going to have difficulty. So absolutely no, I think surrogacy should not be permitted under any circumstances.
How many people are in that position? I just the kind of the accusation, if we'll call it that, that these people were kind of able to leverage their kind of their position for some way, kind of emotional blackmail at the government.
I don't think so. I mean, I think the government and the Minister for Children, as I said, the Minister for Justice and the Minister for Health were involved, and lots of, you know, senators and TDs, and they're looking at the children. And it's the best interest and welfare of the children. The Ombudsman for Children, Dr. Muldoon, gave evidence at the Joint Oireachtas, you know, committee hearings there. And I mean, the facts are, it is the best interest of the children to have a legal parental relationship with both their parents. The facts are, prohibiting surrogacy is not the answer. Then you just, you know, it is a reality. And surrogacy is a route to parenthood. And the best way to ensure that there is no exploitation and is to introduce the legal framework and regulation, preconception approval. I think, as I said before, I think the government should be commended. A huge amount of work has been done by a huge amount of people to get that legislation to the point that it has been enacted. But there's still a huge amount of work to be done to ensure that it works and that it achieves its aim, which is to ensure the best interests and welfare of surrogates are protected, the best interests and welfare of the children and the intended parents. I have worked with and represented so many domestic surrogates, sisters, friends here in Ireland. And that is, they have made a choice. They know what they're doing. They've had their counselling and they want to assist and be a surrogate for a family member. Now, what is wrong with that?
Annette Hickey, solicitor specialising in surrogacy. Sandra Adams. Sandra is a advocate for women's sex-based rights. People will remember that she recently ran in the Shannon elections as well for the NUI panel. Sandra and Annette, thank you both very much for joining us here on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Hershey's milk chocolate with whole almonds makes for a wholly amazing, wholly delicious experience that's, well, wholly Hershey's. Everyone should get to experience the satisfying surprise of a whole almond tucked inside creamy Hershey's chocolate. So don't wait your whole life to try Hershey's milk chocolate with whole almonds. And if you've already had it, then chances are you're already a lifelong fan of this confectionery delight. Find Hershey's milk chocolate with whole almonds wherever candy is sold.